and we are listener supported. We ask that you come to M2K Talk and click on the PayPal donate button and donate a dollar for listening. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Okay, friends, again, this is Bill Brumbaum, my guest Eustace Mullins. We're going through his book, The Curse of Canaan. Now, well, in regard to the title of the book, how does the Civil War fit in with that, Eustace?
Well, as I say, the Rothschilds decided in 1838 to split the country into two smaller Balkanized countries, and when Lincoln fired on was supposedly defending the Federal Republic against the South, because the South fired on Fort Sumter. Now, that was all a setup, because Charleston, South Carolina, was the headquarters of the Scottish Rite in the United States, and was the most Masonic city in the United States, and this attack on Fort Sumter was entirely organized by Freemasons in Charleston, which gave Lincoln the pretext to declare war on the South. You know, the Southern states were not looking for war. They had peacefully seceded from the Union, as they were entitled to do under the provisions of the Constitution. There was absolutely no reason for a war, and Lincoln himself forced the war on the United States.
Well, now that's interesting, because, again, that's a perspective that is not often shared on the air. I keep seeing the same scenario. It's almost as if everybody is playing each other, that it's one big cosmic play going on, and the actors and actresses have ad lib capabilities within certain parameters, but basically they're acting almost according to script.
They really are, and the script is written by the conspirators. As I say, the people in the North and the people in the South were not particularly anxious to have war. You know, wars are very hard to start. It takes a lot of organizing and conspiracy to start a war and get millions of people to kill each other. You know, they had the, during the Civil War in New York City, they had the riots against conscription, and hundreds of people were killed, because the northern people were not that crazy about continuing the war against the South. And that's also not very well covered in history.
Yeah, I have only heard that a couple times in my entire research career, that hundreds of people were killed in protest against forced conscription.
Oh, the Civil War riots in New York and Chicago were tremendous. But that's been passed over by the historians.
Well, and conscription was very unpopular, folks. Let's not forget that the British were conscripting our people where they could during the Revolutionary War.
Oh, they certainly were, yes.
And that was a real unpopular thing. And believe me, folks, believe me, that hung very high in the eyes of the people of this country. They didn't like the Brits doing it, and they sure as heck didn't like the North doing it either.
No, indeed.
Now, the South, they weren't working off of forced conscription, were they?
No, but you see, they fought because they were invaded. You see, the South did not invade the North. The North invaded the South. So the people there were defending their homes against invasion, which gave them the will to fight.
And that's another one of those little interesting things that is conveniently left out of the history books as well.
Oh, it certainly is.
Yeah. Folks, that's very relevant. The fact is, the South should have been allowed to secede. Why? It's a business. They pulled out of a business partnership. And I don't see it any more clear-cut or plain than that.
No, that's exactly what it was. And, you know, the South actually won the Civil War. They won at the Battle of Manassas, and Washington was totally unprotected. And General Lee could have marched into Washington at any time, and the Civil War would have been over, but he didn't do it, because my feeling is that Lee was always, at his heart, loyal not to the Union, but to the United States, and that he simply did not have it in him to conquer Washington. Do you know that under Lee's leadership, no Confederate soldier ever fired a shot against the city of Washington? Not one.
That's rather odd, folks.
It's rather odd because they won the Battle of Manassas 25 miles from the city of Washington, and they could have walked in there and took it, took it over that same afternoon. They did nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Manassas was so important. Washington had thrown any defense or troops into that defense.
Oh, yes. They were totally wiped out, and they have no defense whatsoever.
And it's break time. We don't have a defense for that either. We'll be right back. Okay, friends, we're back. Bill Brumbaugh and Eustace Mullins. We're talking about the Civil War, some of the ramifications of it. And, folks, we're giving you the most epidermal, superficial tour we can of this excellent book, The Curse of Canaan, because, frankly, it would take weeks and weeks and weeks even to mildly get into depth as to what the book's about. But I pray we're giving you enough fascinating material to get you folks out there to try and purchase the book, folks. And, again, get a list of his other excellent books. These are books, folks, that are weapons more powerful than anything we can carry, anything we can bury. The fact is that information like this can change this nation, folks, by educating our children in realities and giving them better direction than what we had. I mean, I was just, you know, going through school, accepting ad hoc what the teachers taught me. And the fact is, folks, that is the agenda. They control the education. They control the nation. Eustace, other things about the Civil War and actually even going back before that, America was a country that, you know, we didn't want to be in a feudal society. We didn't want to have the rich elite to crush us beneath their feet. And yet something started happening out of that. And that was that in addition to the influence of the secret societies, we have a neo-feudal country being formed, because it starts turning out that the sons and daughters of the people that were kind of controlling and messing things up started basically assuming, although they were not officially referred to as titles of nobility, they started inheriting a lot of the duties and a lot of the things that their forerunners had been doing, that their fathers and grandfathers had been doing, to the point today where I see a complete and total neo-feudal society where, you know, we have, again, we've got another Bush in the White House. And who's Clinton? Clinton is a Rockefeller. Why is he a Rockefeller, folks? Because the Rockefellers don't want to reveal themselves as being in that much control, sitting in the number one seat in the nation. The country's not ready for it yet. So they work through shills. They work through their bastard lineage. And this has been going on for a long time now. And I think the Civil War, though, we started seeing a more full and direct manifestation of that.
Oh, we certainly do. And these are family dynasties. And the interesting thing is that these elitists, these family dynasties, arose in a country whose constitution says that every citizen has equal rights, that no citizen can set himself up above another one, and yet these elites rose up and took over the country, and they did it in Civil War, by the way. The elitists did not go to war during the Civil War. You were able to pay $200 and send a substitute to fight for your place in the North when you were drafted. And so none of the wealthy families fought in the Civil War. They simply bought substitutes, J.P. Morgan and all of them. They spent their J.P. Morgan got his start as a financier by buying some condemned rifles from the Union Army and then reselling them back to the War Department at an inflated price, and the rifles didn't even work.
I'm not sure which is worse, the Kennedy family or the Morgans on that one. I mean,
they're unfortunately about the same kind of people. But they definitely are elitists, and they definitely set themselves over above everyone else. And, in fact, they just announced that Teddy Kennedy is pretty well dead of advanced cirrhosis of the liver because of his depraved lifestyle. He's only 69 years old, but he's supposed to be in a very advanced stage of cirrhosis, and so... if he happens to die now, the Republican governor of Massachusetts will appoint a governor, and this will reinstate the Republicans as the majority in the Senate.
Very, yeah, I, That's interesting. That's very interesting. And I know that Ted Kennedy, you know, we can almost spend a little time on Kennedy tonight if you want, as soon as we get through the evolution of this, because we had, I had a really interesting time talking to you on the subject of Kennedy earlier. But let's continue on right now with the book, and maybe we can get to Kennedy, and I guarantee we're going to have a handful of people that are going to want to call in and talk to you too, Eustace. The next chapter in the book, The State of Virginia. Now, I plead ignorant on the state of Virginia. I really don't know why the significance would be ascribed to the state of Virginia, but frankly, given the meritorious import that you've given us on all these other chapters, it must have some relevance.
Oh, it really does. Well, Virginia was known as the mother of presidents because the early presidents of the United States were mostly from Virginia. And as the mother of presidents and the cradle of democracy, Virginia played an inordinate role in the first 100 years of this country. But you see, after the Civil War, we had a punitive government installed in Washington, the federal government, and they maintained martial law in the southern states for 12 years, from 1865 to 1877. And during that time, they installed, under martial law, carpetbagger governments in all the southern states. So the southern states have never really recovered from these criminal governments which were installed under martial law. And in fact, in the state of Virginia where I live now, we have two parties. We have the Democrats and the Republicans. And they're about the same, and I call them the carpetbaggers and the scalawags. The carpetbaggers are the Republicans, and the scalawags are the Democrats. And that's the government that we have in the state today.
Now prior to the Civil War, was Virginia just one big happy state, or was it broken down into two like it is now, Virginia and West Virginia?
No, indeed. Old Virginia had a marvelous government up till 1860. They produced a great statesman, and they had a very homogenous political establishment, and there was no two-party system in Virginia up till 1860.
Very interesting, very interesting. Well, I know the next chapter of the book, and I know we're going to have folks. I'll go ahead and give out the phone number now if you'd like to line up your calls. 1-800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. It would be nice to also to get some new faces and some new voices calling in. So, again, that number is 1-800-259-5791. Obviously, we're not going to turn away phone calls, folks, but I would like to hear some of the new folks. And I know we expand this broadcast audience in leaps and bounds, and I like to hear some of you. You don't even necessarily have to agree with us, folks. I mean, discussion and disagreement can be very productive and very practical when it's done in a point-counterpoint format. So give us a call, 1-800-259-5791. Now, the World Wars, you and I kind of went over that last week quite a bit. Again, it's about banking and the fact that they're banking on the public's ignorance in regard to the real cause and causative agents involved in a war.
Well, that's true. And, you know, no historian has ever presented a plausible reason why World War I occurred or why World War II occurred. And I'm in this work today because I met a political prisoner, Ezra Pound, who became curious about the origins of World War I after so many of his young friends, writers and artists in London and Paris, died in World War I. And he decided to find out what was the reason they died. What did they die for? And he found out that they died because the international bankers needed a war to create debt. Wars create more debt than anything else. And when they create debt, then everybody has to pay interest to the bankers. And this was the only reason for World War I. And, of course, World War II was simply a rerun of World War I. Same parties, same reasons, everything right down the line.
Well, now, I and folks, to get a grip or perspective on the monies that were involved and the tremendous interest and everything, it takes, I believe, to pay off the Civil War, it took over 100 years for us to repay those loans, or correct me if
I'm wrong. Oh, yes, it did. Tremendous debt. And the succeeding generations don't even realize that they're working to pay the interest and some of the principal on the wars which happened many decades before they were even born.
Folks, yeah, do you understand? I mean, that is indentured servitude at a... I mean, I'll take it a step further. That's bond servitude, folks. Because
that's bondage,
when we don't
absolute bondage.
Stand, yeah, when we don't stand against it, that means we're accepting it tacitly, folks. We're not to do that. My Bible says I'm a bond... If indeed I surrender my life to the Most High God, I am a bond servant of His. You can't serve two masters. What do you think, folks? You go to one master and say, hey, I'm your loyal, good, and faithful servant. Then you go to the other and say the same thing. Don't you understand that both masters are going to be a little bit unhappy with you? I mean, sometimes I just wonder if people understand. Again, that's getting caught between the proverbial frying pan and the fire. I don't think, you know, if I'm going to be a Satanist, I'm going to be the best Satanist I can. I'm not going to dilly-dally around try and jump back and forth. And, well, let me be a Christian today and a Satanist tomorrow. Conversely, folks, when we serve the Most High God, the most worthy and just cause in existence, given the fact that He has already accepted the burden for all of our sins on the cross, don't you think it makes sense that we need to apply ourselves as fully as humanly, respectively, humanly able? I mean, it's only logical, folks. A few years here with an eternity with the Most High God, I think I like the eternity with the Most High God better than a quick passage south to hell. Well, Your chapter 10, you get into the menace of communism. And again, folks, if you'd like to call in, 1-800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, you get into the menace of communism. And I know we've got a break coming up here in 15 seconds. We'll start getting some music. I'd like to pick it up at that point if we could. Okay, Eustace?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, folks, again, it is break time. Hang in there. We've got a lot more to share here on the air, a lot more of which we feel you need to be made aware. We'll be right back.
The Big Berkey, the ultimate water filter. It's the most economical water filter you can buy because the ceramic filters can be recleaned up to 100 times or more. It's convenient, sets up in minutes without any need for plumbing, tools, or electricity. It's powerful. The Big Berkey removes pathogens such as E. coli, cholera. It also reduces chlorine, herbicides, pesticides, foul taste, and it removes odors. Unbelievably, it's so powerful it can easily handle water from lakes or rivers. It's elegant. The high-grade polished stainless steel will complement your finest decor. Take it on vacations, hunting, or camping trips, and it's perfect for emergencies. It's flexible, ideal for your home, RV, or boat. Take it on vacations, camping trips, and it's perfect for emergencies. Get the ultimate water filter, normally $279, for the special price of only $220. Order now to save $59 by calling toll-free 888-803-4438.
Recommended for outdoor and emergency use in California and Wisconsin, not yet available in Iowa.
What's the health breakthrough of the century? Water's soluble. Silver mineral water just may be the answer. Silver is a very powerful natural antibiotic, and it has been used for thousands of years in its less effective colloidal form. Our silver mineral water is a pure solution of water and silver. There are no salts, additives, or preservatives, and at 100 parts per million, it is totally without color. Silver mineral water is totally non-toxic with an indefinite shelf life. Traditional antibiotics are becoming less and less effective against pharmaceutically resistant designer bacteria and viruses. So protect yourself and your loved ones. A 32-ounce size of silver mineral water is only $29. Gallons are $59. Both are postpaid. Call Cliff Scott Enterprises at 1-800-569-4340 for silver mineral water today. That's 800-569-4340.
Music is a powerful part of our lives. Soldiers have marched to their deaths inspired by music, and of old, the music of bards has brought down kingdoms. But what about music today? Could it be attacking God's kingdom? Much of modern music's proclivity towards promiscuity, perversions, and rebellions is openly well known. But what of those hidden messages that the subconscious hears? Our subconscious is powerful and can hear and decipher messages that the conscious listener may not even be aware of. Steve Scott of HiddenMessages.org is putting together a series of tapes exposing both hidden messages from prominent media figures as well as those from Christian music groups. To find out more, please contact Steve at Subliminal Research Ministries, P.O. Box 3246, Independence, Missouri 64055, or by email at webmaster@HiddenMessages.org or visit his website, HiddenMessages.org.
Now cassette and CD copies of Genesis programs are available in synthesized stereo. Recorded from inside the GCN studios and remastered in synthesized stereo for the best audio quality possible. And for a limited time, we now have even lower pricing.
Even lower pricing.
Cassettes are now $10 for 1 hour, $12.50 for a 2 hour show, and $15 for a 3 hour show.
CDs are $10 per hour.
Synthesized stereo. Stereo. Make copies and pass them out to your friends.
Give one to your local station manager.
Just spread the word. Order your tapes now. Make checks or money orders payable to GCN Tapes, P.O. Box 240454, St. Paul, Minnesota 55124. That's GCN Tapes, P.O. Box 240454, St. Paul, Minnesota 55124. And as always, be sure to give us the name of the host and the date the program aired when placing your order.
Back, Bill Brumbaugh, Eustace Mullins. We've got a caller, we've got an email message or two, and again, folks, if you'd like to get on the phones with us, 1-800-259-5791. Usually, Eustace, I don't open the phone lines until the last half hour of the show. We're approaching that, and I know that, again, there's a lot of folks out there that have a lot of questions. The menace to communism, communism, I mean, that was a big red menace. It's all over, right? The bear choked and died, or the menace to communism, what does it really mean?
Well, you know, when I got out of the Air Force in 1946, I became a very dedicated anti-communist, and it took me 20 years to find out that by studying the Federal Reserve System, that the Federal Reserve System was the backer of communism. Our Federal Reserve System here in the United States, principally the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which is the money center bank, was almost the sole backer of the world communist movement. And that was a great shock to me. And I found out later that the United States government had been the sole backer of communism since 1917, when President Woodrow Wilson took $20 million of his $100 million special war fund to prosecute World War One, which was voted him by Congress, of this World War One fund to prosecute the war, he took $20 million and sent his Secretary of State, Elihu Root, to Russia in 1917 to rescue the Bolshevik Revolution, which was collapsing. And we have supported the Russians ever since. All during the 40 years of the Cold War, we were keeping Russia alive. The Russian economy had collapsed. But we weren't allowed to know that because the Central Intelligence Agency, our supposedly spy agency in Washington, its sole function during the Cold War was to continue warning the American people about the menace of communism, that Russia was going to take over the world, and at the same time, we were the sole support of Russia. That was to keep the military-industrial complex running this country.
Well, and I guess if you don't have a boogeyman, there's no reason to be afraid of the night.
Well, it's like Senator Vandenberg said. He told his fellow senators, and I have it quoted, he said, the only way we can keep this going is to scare the hell out of the American people. And so the menace of communism was promoted by the Central Intelligence Agency for 40 years and kept the Cold War going when there was no Cold War and the Russians were barely able to feed themselves, much less fight us.
Mm. And again, folks, that was another control factor. Why did we just help the military? Well, the same reason Saddam Hussein got that bolstering, folks, is because, again, the people are easily controlled through food, folks. So if we're supplying arms, if we're supplying technology to the respective countries, that country then controls the people itself, thus making it look like these dictatorships are so powerful, so strong, they're so evil, but folks are only evil because we feed the beast.
Well, we feed them because the United States today is still the greatest producer in the world, and nobody can really have any political movement anywhere. When we fought, the last people we fought were Saddam's Iraq army in 1990, and we had President Bush, and Saddam Hussein was President Bush's partner in the Harkin Oil Company, and here he is denouncing his business partner as the new Hitler and declaring war against him, and they were in business together.
Well, now that whole thing was interesting. Plus, I mean, they had a business partnership, too, in regard to the Denver International Airport.
Oh, they certainly did, yes.
Yeah, and so, folks, again, it's just a big global play. It's the old quote, all the world's a stage and we're only players, folks. We're not just players. We're being played left and right. And because we don't fight the good fight, this keeps going on and on and on. These are the Energizer bunnies, folks. They never run out of this energy. They just keep going on and on and on. Folks, that's why programs like this, I pray, are important, should be important to you, that our homeschooling parents will utilize the opportunity to access our internet archives or folks, to make it part of their program where they just tape the show every night and get the education in the hands of the kids, folks, because this is not airy-fairy stuff. This is documented. It is cemented in the blood of the people who have died, allegedly in the name of justice and freedom in this country, too often the need for greed by elitist bankers. Well, Eustace, let's get to the phone lines if we could.
Oh, certainly.
And we'll do that. I think we'll wait till after the break. We'll get to you, Kate, real quick. We'll get to Ken. And Gary, you sent an interesting perspective and question on the Internet. We'll get to you as well, folks. Get them lined up. 1-800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. We'll be right back.
This is GCN.
Subscribe. We are your friends.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You're listening to M2K Talk Archives Service, and we are listener-supported. We ask that you come to M2K Talk and click on the PayPal Donate button and donate a dollar for listening. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Folks, we're back. Bill Brumbaugh, your host of the Proactive News. My guest, Eustace Mullins. We've got some callers on the line. Let's get to the first caller, Kate from New Jersey. Good evening, Kate.
Good evening, Mr. Brumbaugh and Mr. Eustace Mullins.
Good evening.
Mr. Mullins, I must tell you, I have most of your books. The only one I think I don't have is about Christ, which you had said it's hard to get. Is that still in print?
It's out of print right now. I'm trying to reprint it now.
Uh-huh. But the most marvelous is your monograph. And the best monograph that I am reading at this present moment is called The Secret Holocaust. And I believe that the truth is in this book, and that is why we have the horrible genocide the world over.
That's
and
true.
I think this book is more important than any of your books, Mr. Mullins. And I really appreciate your information, and the truth should be told. And God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, that was a good testimony. Thank you very much, Kate. When you're talking the Holocaust, now that brings up a number of different possibilities. Are we talking the loss of human life through abortion, or do we get back to the official political designation of what the Holocaust is? And again, I do not believe, and here we go, Are we ready? Are you listening, ACLU? I don't believe that there are historic records, factual records, that can document the death of 6 million Jews in Europe at that time. I believe that number to be greatly inflated. It doesn't mean the death or loss of a few hundred thousand people is not a horrible event, but the nature of the circumstances, folks, that's where history has been omitted.
Well, The Secret Holocaust is one of my most popular books, and which is also out of print right now.
It's one I'm not familiar with, too. So,
The Secret Holocaust is the war against the Christianity, a worldwide war against Christianity. Not the war against Jews, but the war against Christianity. And this is why the Anti-Defamation League calls me a Holocaust denier, because my book, The Secret Holocaust, does not mention the Holocaust against the Jews at all. And they claim because I don't mention it, that means I'm a Holocaust denier. How you can deny something without mentioning it, I don't know.
which is real interesting. And the Holocaust against Christians, I mean, a lot of people are not really cognizant of how many people died, how many Christians died after the Bolshevik Revolution and through Lenin and Marx and Khrushchev.
And the Spanish Civil War, that was a war against Christianity. And also, the French Revolution was a war against Christianity. They massacred priests and nuns all over France.
Hmm. And then again, in the classic Machiavellian, or maybe I should say Gramsci, scenario, the very implementers of the revolution were themselves put under the knife too, weren't they?
Oh, they were indeed. That's where they said the terror devoured its own. There's a lot of famous sayings about the French Revolution, and one of them is that Robespierre and many of the others were devoured by their own mechanism.
And folks, if you don't understand the relevance of that, let's put it in modern terms. There has been a recent revolution in this country. It has been a sexual revolution. It's been a social revolution where homosexuality is now a preferred, according to the mainstream media, it's a preferred lifestyle. It is a quote-unquote natural form of birth control. And the activists that were involved with blood terrorism. I know that many cities were threatened, and folks, you don't hear this in the mainstream news, but we have put it out for years. They were terrorized with, if you don't bow to our agenda, we're going to come in and mass donate blood into your blood banks and destroy your blood supply. We're talking about HIV-tainted blood.
Oh, yes, indeed. And in fact, the promotion of homosexuality is part of the war against Christianity because Christianity is a religion which promotes the family unit. And, of course, the promotion of homosexuality is war against the family unit and Christianity.
Agreed. And yet, in their blindness, in their lack of clear sight as to what's really going on, they don't recognize that this is the same old agenda. Folks, AIDS is curable. Just about any ailment known to mankind is curable. And yet, the mainstream medical community, because they help promote the concept of homosexuality as a preferable or superior lifestyle, the homosexuals accept that as a given, and they don't look and see what is happening to their ranks, because, quite frankly, just like the French Revolution, just like the Night of the Long Knives in Germany, the implementers of the most radical social revolution then fall under the knife. The homosexuals,
they certainly do. It devours its own.
Yep, and they're rotting. Their bodies are rotting, folks. This is not a good thing. Understand that, because I would rather see people turn around. I'd rather see them come to a knowledge of the saving grace of the Most High God. But the fact is, folks, is that as they turn their back, their bodies turn black with plague, with the plagues that they bring on themselves just through the very lifestyle itself, let alone some virus or bacteria that may or may not be helping further facilitate the horrible destruction that they face in their lives. Well, let's get to our next caller. And by the way, if you'd like to call in, folks, we've got an open line or two, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. We know you're out there. Come join us on the air. Let's get to Ken in Virginia. Good evening, Ken.
Good evening, Bill. I want to compliment you on having your guest, who is one of the amazing resources of American not only history, politics, and learning. And I wasn't sure when you were discussing the chapters. Is this from a new book that he has written? when he wrote outlining the chapters, or is this chapter 10 and so forth? Because I got in, I didn't hear the beginning of the program, and you were discussing the Civil War briefly, and Eustace is too modest. He knows me. He knows who I am. But he is too modest in his speech. And I was thinking on the Civil War of the two Rothschild agents, which he's talked about so many times, where you had August Belmont in the north, and you had Judah Benjamin in the south, who was the Secretary of State, and of course nothing ever happened to him after the war. He went back to England
and lived out to ripe old age, where they put Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, in prison, but Judah Benjamin sailed off to England and lived happily ever after.
And the amusing thing that I just recently read about August Belmont was that which I didn't know, as well as, of course, being getting a lot of money from the Rothschilds and utilizing it to help lend money to the North for building war stuff. But he was interested in racing, and that's where we got Belmont Park from.
Oh yes, and he was a famous race horse.
And so, of course, that's sort of entertaining, because everybody knows about Belmont Park, but hardly anybody knows about August Belmont and what he really was.
Well, he openly advertised in all the financial records of that time as that he was the American representative of the Rothschilds, but he failed to tell his customers that the Rothschilds also had two other major representatives who were secret, and that was J.P. Morgan Company and Kuhn Loeb Company in New York. J.P. Morgan was for the Gentiles, and Kuhn Loeb was an all-Jewish company, and so if you were Jewish or Gentile, you still dealt with the Rothschilds through these secret representatives, and August Belmont was the only one who ever identified himself as the actual agent of the Rothschilds.
Now, was this, getting back to my original question, were you discussing, is this a new book?
Curse of Canaan was published in 1987, but it's just as timely right now as when it was first published.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Well,
the facts have changed.
Well, yeah, and let me interrupt for a second, Ken. I find it a very foundational book because it gives a pretty good layout of the manipulation of this nation and other nations, and then I kind of see a lot of other stuff fitting in and linking in with it from there. But if you don't know who the conspirators are and you don't have a thread that is going between the different fabrics of delusionment and the veils of deception that they put up, then it's really hard to understand how one single entity like the Federal Reserve or the IRS or our military is managing to mess us over so bad. I do believe that the outline and the format of Curse of Canaan is really important. I see it as a real foundational book, Eustace. Ken, back to you.
Yeah, I'll get off. It is a wonderful book, and all the others are too. And Eustace, we just can't repay the debt that we owe him for his wonderful work. I'll get off the line.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
I've got two things. First of all, Board, I missed the name of the caller from Utah. You can tell me anytime. Okay, and second, And is my board op good or what? I already know. Second, here's an interesting statement from a man. He doesn't have a question here, but I'd like to read this if I could, Eustace. He said, the First Bank of the United States, Andrew Jackson did not renew the charter.
That was the Second Bank of the United States. First Bank of the United States was not renewed by Thomas Jefferson, and the second one in 1836 was not renewed. What Andrew Jackson did, he said, you are vipers and I will drive you out. And so he removed the government deposits from the Second Bank of the United States, and that caused it to collapse because they were using the government money to operate their bank.
Mm.
And then that brought on the panic of 1837 by the Bank of England, which refused to honor any American paper anywhere in the world, and that caused the first great financial panic in the United States, the Panic of 1837.
Followed up nearly a century later with the second one, the great stock market crash.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Well, okay. That set the pattern for the panics that followed later. They learned how to do it in the Panic of 1837. And the Rothschilds themselves then, after the panic in the United States, they sent in their representatives to buy up all the stocks of American companies at 1 cent on the dollar, and they created a whole new class of millionaires who were Rothschild's agents, and they were the most powerful people in the United States after 1837.
Okay, and I'm not going to get into the guy's whole question here, because I'm going to address that on a later show with my dear friend Greg Pappas. But coming up very soon, folks. But I've got a question for you. Now, I was told by the grandson of Adoniah Rothschild in a meeting that we had a number of years ago, he said, you guys always follow the men. He said, what you don't follow is where the women, where the Rothschild women end up. And he said, that is a trail that I think you'll find most worthy if you investigate.
Oh, yeah, that's very important.
Yeah, now I have not read all your books, but... Do you introduce that factor at all? Because, again, you know, I do find that relevant. We do keep an eye on the males, but the women, again, they give those ties and links into the agenda just through their bloodline as they marry males from other lines.
Oh, yeah. One of the leaders of a British foreign office for in the 19th century was Lord Rosebery, who married Hannah Rothschild. And the Rosebereys are... supposedly a Gentile family, but it's a Rothschild relation.
That's interesting. You know, it's almost as if they marry off the women to achieve either political or financial conquest to spread the Rothschild empire.
Well, they do, because, you see, the Rothschilds would never allow a female member to be a partner of the Rothschild banking house, but the women married very prominent aristocrats in England and became powerful that way.
And that's interesting, folks, because we know the British East India Company was involved not just in opium, but slave trade. And who runs the British East India Company, Houston?
Oh, that's the Rothschild operation.
Yeah, that's the Rothschild operation. Folks, the point about this is not only were they trading in slaves, not only were they trading in strange flesh, flesh that was not of their bloodline, but through the marriage of the women... they were trading in flesh through their own family. In my opinion, that is a completely depraved mentality.
Oh, it certainly is.
All right. Well, let's get to our next caller, and that is Rose in Utah. Good evening, Rose.
Hi there. Speaking of the women, do either of you know when the modern-day so-called Jews started tracing their bloodline through the women, since clearly in the Bible it's through the men?
Yes.
Do you know when they started that?
Oh, I don't know exactly when that started, but I think it started after 1700 when the Freemasons became very powerful in England, and England was the leading world power at that time.
Well, I think it has to be a modern invention, because
yes,
it's certainly not biblical.
Yes.
If I can offer one up too, Rose, Greg Pappas will have some insight on that when he comes up, I believe, this next week, but I might throw this out. Due to the complete history that, and there was some very good history and very good records, and now due to the printing press and other things, more of this history became available. It may be that they made this switch by bringing the women as the relevant factor on tracing the bloodline, because the fact is that in 70 AD, I believe the entire Levitical priesthood was wiped out in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
meaning there was never a chance again for the temple sacrifices to be performed, meaning that unless Messiah had already come, the Jews never had any hope again.
Well, they certainly don't have the sacrifices today, do they?
No, they don't, and they can't righteously revive them because, again, the Levitical priesthood, I believe, was wiped out. What's your thoughts on that, Houston? Do you think
I believe that too, because that was a very powerful force against the Jews at that time.
Well, and I know I'm quite frankly speculating on that, but it does seem, you know, with the invention of the Gutenberg, with the printing press and all the things that came out of that, now all of a sudden more text, more information is available to the regular public in order to defer and defray away from certain things like finding out that the belief system of modern Judaism can never come to fulfillment without Messiah already having returned. He already would have had to return. They would lose their power. They would lose so much of their control because all their priests were dead. The priests, the temple priests, they were the Levites. If the Levitical line was wiped out at that point, well, then the only way you can try and work around that is through the women.
Well, I figured the women thing has something to do with the money thing, but I can't figure it out exactly how that works. You know, keeping the power in the group.
You mean kind of a checks and balances thing?
Yeah. I want to tell you, you know that horrible suicide bombing they had at the disco or where the young people were killed?
Oh, yes.
Three of those young people, although they were Jews, could not be buried on Jewish soil, on public soil. Because they weren't Jewish enough.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Their mothers weren't Jewish.
And are we talking of a belief system or are we talking of a race, folks? You can't have it both ways. Hang on, Rose. We'll be back for the close right after this.
Big Berkey, the elegant water filter, a showpiece that will complement your finest decor. Queen Victoria, who ascended to the throne in 1837, used this system for the royal household. The high-grade polished stainless steel makes a sparkling attraction that your friends will envy. The Big Berkey reduces up to 99.9% of harmful bacteria, particulates, cysts, and parasites. It also reduces chlorine, rust, organic pesticides, and herbicides. It costs only about 50 cents per month because the ceramic filters can be re-cleaned up to 100 times or more. This elegant system sets up in minutes without any need for plumbing, tools, or electricity, yet provides years of fresh, clean drinking water. And best of all, it's durable, easy to clean, and designed to last a lifetime. Order the elegant Big Berkey, normally $279, for the special price of only $220. Order now and save $59 by calling toll-free 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Recommended for outdoor emergency use in California and Wisconsin, not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Bill Brumbaugh, host of the Proactive News, heard five nights a week from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on Genesis. Did you know that I was a writer, researcher, and producer for three internationally acclaimed award-winning video productions? UFOs, The Hidden Truth, A Nation Adrift, and Bill Clinton's Rise to Power are those Hollywood-quality, hard-hitting productions. For the first time, they're available here on Genesis for only $24.95 each, including shipping and handling. Please call toll-free to 866-320-2121, 866-320-2121.
How is it that a private institution like the Fed can profit from lending U.S. currency, but when its member banks get into financial trouble, a government institution called the FDIC will bail them out? Is it good business for taxpayers to print Fed's currency, taking payment for materials and labor in the same specie? Should we have to take on debt and have money for commerce? In 1791, Jefferson debated Hamilton, refusing to leave our country in the grip of perpetual debt. Knowledge is power. For a free banking report, call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know there's current legislation trying to stop you from being able to purchase 50 caliber firearms? Now is the time for the military and firearms enthusiasts to take control of their rights. TNW Incorporated is proud to offer the Browning M2HB 50 caliber rifle. This 50 caliber created a legacy for itself from World War II through the Vietnam War by helping gain air and ground superiority for our U.S. and Allied armies. But that's not all that TNW Incorporated has to offer. They also have the workhorse of the U.S. and Allied forces, the Browning Model 1919 A4 and A6 in the 30-06 and 308 calibers. They also have the German MG34 chambered for commercial 8mm rounds. These firearms come with either a BATF or ATF approved letter of ownership and are semi-auto only. Call TNW Incorporated now at 503-429-5001 and get your M2HB 1919 or MG34 while you still can. Again, that's 503-429-5001. Or visit their website for a complete list of products and accessories at www.tnwfirearms.com. The bureaucrats in Washington won't wait. Can you? Call TNW today.
Seems like we just started, Eustace. Well, maybe except for you. You're out there on the East Coast time zone, so I know it's awful late for you. But I thoroughly have enjoyed you being up tonight. And, again, that offer every Friday night until you are weary of being on my show, and I pray that doesn't happen anytime soon, I'd like to have you up. So you've got that slot filled as long as you desire, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Rose, are you still with us?
Yes. That zip code, was it 24401?
Yes, that's the code.
Okay, and let me ask you about the Federal Reserve. The different presidents appoint those seven board members at different times. Do they get a short list of who to appoint? Can they appoint a taxi cab driver? What are the qualifications?
No, they have to be important bankers out of Wall Street or a Wall Street connection. And the president himself, of course, doesn't know any of these people. They are recommended to, the names are given to him by the bankers themselves. He has absolutely no choice whatsoever.
Was Alan Greenspan a banker?
He was a partner at J.P. Morgan.
Oh, okay, a partner. Okay, so really each president, when they say, oh, the president appoints the chairman of the Fed, he has only seven choices, right?
That's right, and yet they say that the Federal Reserve System is independent. They always talk about the independence of the Federal Reserve System. They're independent of the American people, but they're not independent of the bankers.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you're welcome, Rose.
Okay.
And, folks, for those of you who are going to catch the show on the archive, once again, I'd like Eustace to give out the information where you can reach him and order some of his fine books. And, again, tonight's interview was based on The Curse of Canaan.
Yes. Well, it's the Bankers Research Institute, which is at P.O. Box 1105, Stanton, Virginia, 24401.
Okay, and what does Curse of Canaan cost? Isn't it $15?
$15. That's a deluxe hardcover book.
As all your books are hardcovers, aren't they?
Yes, indeed they are, yes.
Oh.
Because due to the improvement in printing, I found a few years ago that I could print hardcovers for practically the same price as paperbacks. Because I have kept my prices low over the years because I want as many people as possible to get these books.
Well, we sure do appreciate it. And, you know, Eustace, I do believe the time is coming where educational resources are going to finally be recognized as being much more of value than having a good supply of bullets.
Oh, definitely.
Which I don't think is a bad idea either. But the fact is it's a weapon that gets greater through the giving. Folks, that's truth. That's the nature of Christ. It's the only gift that gets greater through the giving, and you can't ever exhaust it. Believe me, folks, you can run out of bullets. I think these resources may be here during a time when things get very dark for this nation, and you'll find, folks, that you'd be more willing to lay your life down to protect and disseminate information like this than even to hold on to your weapons. So, Eustace, I want to thank you for joining us, my friend, and let's give it a talk sometime next week and discuss what we're going to go over on next Friday's show. Okay, my friend?
I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Eustace. God bless.
Thank you.
Folks, Proactive News is facing, we're going through a few challenges right now, including trying to catch up on the phone bill, the ISDN lines. I sat down and balanced everything out. And really, folks, I can't afford just to be up on the air and pay a lot of money every month. I just want to break even. It's not a matter of even profiting, folks. I do need your help. Please, if you can help us, if you can donate, that's Proactive News, 1627 West Main Street, number 313, 1627 West Main Street, number 313, Bozeman, B-O-Z-E-M-A-N, Montana, 59715. Again, Proactive News, 1627 West Main, number 313, Bozeman, B-O-Z-E-M-A-N, Montana, 59715. Make any checks or money orders payable to the Proactive News. It's been a privilege to serve, folks. I hope you serve God the same. God bless.
You from being able to purchase 50 caliber firearms? Now is the time for the military and firearms enthusiasts to take control of their rights. TNW Incorporated is proud to offer the Browning M2HB 50 caliber rifle.